kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. Father, I thank you. Your word says when we bring all the tithe into the storehouse, you will open up the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing so much that we cannot retain it, and that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. And we thank you for that, Lord. I lift up Charles David's family to you, Lord. I pray that in the loss of this loved one, Lord, your Holy Spirit comforts, guides, and directs that family, Lord God. And Father, I lift up Juanita. I thank you, Lord, she's out of the hospital. I just pray, Lord God, that you would continue to touch her and heal her and make her whole so that she can be back with her church family here, Lord. And Father, for that we give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. 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 I think Jackie had a moment this morning. Yeah. No, what did she say?
She said, at first, I thought your feet was hurting, Jackie.
Something else was hurting. Are you the Ghostbuster? He's even got the trap. Be careful. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes,
Bernie, you missed one, Bern.
Oh,
I missed two people back there, bub. They should have been a little more cheerful, shouldn't they, Bernie?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Vacation's always good. This particular vacation was good for me because I got to read a lot. And I got to spend some time with the grandkids. But I got to tell you, I've been trying to prepare to teach a class on the relevance of Torah this fall, and I've been giving you all some highlights, you know. But I got to be honest with you. I have never, ever come into the revelation of anything in God's Word like the Torah has opened up. And I'm not even out of Genesis. And me and God, we just had a ball. I was like, my Lord, I've been preaching for how long? And I didn't even know some of this stuff. I mean, you know, the rabbis say the Torah has 70 faces. I never fully understood that till really this week, you know, in studying what all's in the Torah. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about in one of our first lessons on making the Torah relevant today, or asking the question, is it relevant? And when I say Torah, I'm going to, you know, a lot of people refer to the whole Bible as the Torah, and that's fine. But specifically, the Torah is the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? And if you look at Genesis, Genesis is all about people. Yes, and they were 4,000 years ago. But what they went through applies to our lives today. Can anybody tell me what I preached on 2 weeks ago? The Torah was relevant. What did we use? What did we say? What did we say about Adam and Eve and when Adam told God, hey, it was that woman you gave me. And Eve said, no, it wasn't me, it was the serpent. They failed to take responsibility for themselves, right? We talked about how Noah saved his own skin. But Noah never interceded for the rest of the world. So Noah had failed in his responsibility to his brethren or to his fellow man. Amen? Right? And so the Torah taught us about responsibility. And, you know, we live in a whole world today where somebody, Nancy wants to blame the president, and you know how it's going on, you know. Everybody wants to blame somebody else instead of being responsible for themselves. Amen? You know, I hear all the time the divisions in this nation. Well, you know what? If every individual would be responsible for his part or her part, maybe we could get some unity in this nation. Amen? How about your family? I've known families that couldn't get along. I've known brothers that wouldn't even speak to brothers. Huh? Maybe instead of blaming each other, we ought to take responsibility for our own actions. Amen? So that was 2 weeks ago. Today, we're going to start with another lesson. One thing I learned on this trip is this. I have, and so do you, a yetzer hara, an evil inclination. Now, growing up in the Nazarene church, they said you have a filthy, rotten flesh that needs to be sanctified wholly, completely, so that you'll never sin again. Well, I broke that one too, okay? But the idea, their concept of praying a consecrated prayer to God was powerful. And that if I'm consecrating my life to Him and I'm making that move to study His Word, to love people around me, to go out of my way to be kind to people. Amen. How many of you know, how many of you ever been guilty? Or maybe just me. I've been guilty of being kind to people when it was convenient for me, not when it was inconvenient. I know that woman needs help getting those groceries in that car, but God, do you know what I got to do? Or I'm in a hurry, so I'm going to leave this buggy right here. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to leave this buggy right here. No, that's not where you got it. Put it back. And now they made it easy. They got these buggy corrals, you know, and they got... And Walmart's got way too many of them, taking up way too many parking places. I'm just saying, okay? All right? But they've got them so many places, you got no excuse, you know, but to do the right thing. So we have this evil inclination called a flesh, but we also have this good inclination. Yetzer tov. Tov is the Hebrew word for good. And you know, when I was reading Genesis chapter 1, it's used seven times. Seven times it's used to describe God's creation. God created light and He said it was tov. And when God got done with everything, God said it's tov me'od. It's very good. Amen. So God gives us this great planet to live in. He prepared it for us. For our enjoyment, he created this habitation for us to live in first. Then He creates man. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 18. Well, I'll read verse 17. No, just go to verse 31. We don't have to read all that. I got a lot of other stuff, so we don't have to read all that. Just go to verse 31. Then God saw that everything that He had made, and indeed it was tov me'od, very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All right? Now, this word tov, it's the Hebrew word for good. God creates the earth. He looks at it and He said, man, this is very good. This would be a good place for me to put my creation. man and woman. Amen? So he says it's good. Now, how many know that good can be, it can be an adverb, it can be an adjective, it can describe something, but it can also be a noun. And good as a noun, I looked this up in the dictionary. Good as a noun means that which is morally right or righteous. If you're a good person, it means you are morally righteous. How many know the world could use a few more people with good morals and righteous morals? Amen. But I want I looked up this week. I'm not going to bore you with them, but you know, there's a lot of myth when it comes to the creation of the world. Ancient myth says the creation, some say that the creation of the world happened because of the cosmic battle between the gods. And they warred and they created so much chaos and power, boom, the earth happened. You know, the Vikings believed, I can't remember the guy's name, but the Vikings believed in some guy that he just appeared and was fed by a magical cow that licked the salt off the ice. So anyway, and that's how mankind got started. So there's a lot of myth out there where creation is concerned. You know, some people believe what they call it, the Big Bang Theory. Nothing was there, and all of a sudden, boom, and we're here. One thing I'm for sure. I was sold on it anyway, but being a diabetic and going to all those classes and understanding how this body works, it's so complex and complicated. Only a higher power, and his name is Yahweh, could have created the heavens and the earth and this physical body. Somebody say amen. So, with that said, the Torah only spends one chapter on creation. Out of five books, you get one chapter on creation. And then shortly after that is sin enters the world. And with sin comes death, right? So then for me, standing back and looking at this, one chapter on creation, well, then the Torah must not be about creation. Creation's settled. You think about that one chapter compared to all the myth in the world, all the goofiness in the world where creation is concerned, then God's idea of creation is pretty radical. There's no battle of the gods. There's no cosmic explosion of power. God simply utters his word and poof, here we are. Amen. A powerful world, but the idea is this is radical. This is totally different from any myth. Okay? So, with only giving one chapter to creation, then I don't think that the Torah is about creation more than it's a guide to living in God's creation. Did you hear what I said? The Torah is a guide to tell us how to live. The first book of the Bible, Genesis. This was profound to me this week. It's about personalities. It's about love and justice. It's about love in relationship to others. And you know what I found? Every place in the Genesis account where love is mentioned, guess what goes with it? Conflict. Huh? Conflict goes with it. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But I want you to get this. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, is a guide for God's man as he lives here on this created earth. Amen? Think of it as that. It's teaching. It's guidance. Amen. It's not legalistic. This is what I get all the time when I mention Torah. Oh, you want to put us under the law? No, I don't. No, I don't. God wasn't trying to put anybody under the law. God was trying to get his people to be blessed. Moses told him, listen, today I set before you life and death. You get to choose. See, here's let me go back here to Genesis. Excuse me, Genesis 1, verse 26. You're already there. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Wow. What does that mean to be created in the image of God? I think we could preach on this for weeks, what it means to be made in the image of God. But for our purpose today, we're going to say this. God is not bound by time. God is not bound by a physical body that is limited. If I found out one thing on this vacation, I found out that I'm not the man I thought I was. There are certain things I can't do anymore that I used to be able to do. And having this shoulder surgery has set me way back. Because there's things I can't lift. I've lost strength in this arm. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm weak as a cat. I can't even, you know. I cut the church grass yesterday. I cut my father-in-law's grass yesterday, you know, and I used a push mower quite a bit up there. And I'm like, stick a fork in me. And I walk a lot. But see, God's not bound by that physical body where he's limited. So let's say it this way. God is free. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by a physical body. So you being created in the image of God, you have been created free. Free to choose. Free to choose life or to choose death. Somebody say amen. That was Nimrod's problem. Nimrod, one of the grandsons of Noah, Nimrod was going to build the Tower of Babel, right? But Nimrod, we know now by history, that Nimrod was a hunter of men's souls. He was trying to have men subservient under him. How many know that's went on since Nimrod, right? We got that today. We got people today that want to rule. Look at Putin and what's the Chinese president or whatever, his dictator or whatever his name, Xi Jinping, you know, and ping pong down in North Korea. These people want people to be subservient to them, right? But man was created free. That's why nobody's going to ever be able to do that in America. I don't believe, because we've been created free. We dumped the king's tea in the harbor one time. Bring it on. We'll probably do it again. I shudder to think what would happen in America if they actually tried to take the guns. Think about that for a minute. That would be ugly. I just shudder to think what would happen. But the reason is, you've been created free. You have the freedom to choose. Amen. You can choose life or you can choose death. That's being created in the image of God. And God gives us this book to help guide those freedoms. Right? Amen? See, there are certain things that I'm free to go do. But this book is trying to keep me in check, right? Is it trying to keep me from enjoying myself? No. It's trying to keep me from hurting people around me and from hurting myself. Amen? It's trying to help guide me in my relationship with God so that I don't stray off the path and get away from God. How many know God is a life-giving spirit? When I find myself down or a little depressed or unhappy, it's usually because I haven't been spending enough time in God's Word and with God. He's my lifeline. So I want you to think of Torah. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to think of Torah as a guide. Amen? Now, I want you to turn to, I'm going to blow your mind. Turn to Isaiah 45. You got to start thinking like a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. He was from the Eastern culture. We live in a Western culture. All right? Now, hang on there a minute. Turn to Isaiah 45, page 927. I want you to see this, hopefully. I've had a great time with God last week in the Word. I read and I read and I read, and I even fell asleep reading. Verse 7 says this. Now brace yourself. I form the light and create darkness. Who said that? God. God said, I create light. I create darkness. Then he says, I make peace and create calamity. Seriously? I, Yahweh, do all these things. What? What do you mean God creates darkness? Because see, with our Western mind, we have this concept of darkness being evil and light being good. But my Bible just says that God created both. You with me? See, in our Western mind, we see light and darkness as two opposing forces. Did you know in Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, there was no such thing as an evil person or evil thing in ancient Hebrew? Now watch. When Bernie was talking about this morning, when the children of Israel are at Sinai, I'll tell you what, let's just read it so you can get the full mind of here. Exodus 20, if my notes are right. They've often been known to go astray. Exodus 20, verse 21. Okay, this is where God wanted them to come up on Mount Sinai, right? Bernie was talking about this. Pastor Bernie was talking about this earlier. I'm going to read it. Now all the people witnessed, this is verse 18, page 103. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now I'm not going to judge them because I'm not sure what I would have done in that particular spot. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Man, that was a 1,500-year mistake. They would not hear God's voice again until the Messiah arrived. Verse 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Amen. See, God created the darkness, and here, God's in the darkness. What happens, Genesis 15, when God tells Abraham, you go get these animals, you cut them up, you lay them here on the altar. What happens to Moses, or what happens to Abraham? He falls asleep and darkness covers him. And it was terrifying, the darkness. But then there was something that looked like a burning torch. It was God's presence that walked in and out of those animals, cutting that covenant with Abraham. Amen? So, when God created you, that's what you want to understand. When God created you, he created you with your evil inclination as well as your good inclination. Amen? See, let's think about, just think about it for a little bit. We're all adults in the room. Let's think about it for a second. God gave you a good inclination, a spirit, amen, a heart, right? But he also gave you a flesh that's attracted to the opposite sex, okay? Now, that's what God intended. And God gives us this book for guidance. That evil inclination, it's not really all that evil, okay? Can be outside the word of God without the guidance and teaching of the Torah. But that desire for the opposite sex was given to us by God for something good. Now Satan comes along and he perverts it, and now you've got men in relationships with men and women in relationships with other women. And see that the Torah prohibits that. It's the guidance. It's the light to light the path. Amen? And I tell you what, no politician can save us. Only this word of God. Amen? Only this word of God can turn this nation or this world around. We must go back to the Torah, to the guidance. Amen? Somebody say amen or me. Now, turn with me real quick to Genesis. I want to go to Genesis 4 or 6. 6. Genesis 6. I think we'll start in 4, I think, but that's subject to change. You know that. Genesis 6. Now watch. You're made in the image of God. You're free to choose. You choose life, choose death. If you choose life, you're going to choose the guidance in the Word of God. Amen? To choose death is to just use that freedom and allow the enemy to pervert that freedom. Right? Look what God says in Genesis 6. Now, this is leading up to the flood. Verse 4 says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look down in verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Wow. See, it was violence. How many of you know that our earth is full of violence today? Amen? Amen? Okay. Now, here's the antidote for that violence. Go over to Genesis 9. Look in verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply it. Now, first of all, God said that if you shed a man's blood, your blood will be required, because man is made in the image of God. If we're going to turn the tide of violence in this world, then somebody has to stand up and say, hey, this man or this woman is made in the image of God, you have to develop some type of sanctity for life.
Amen.
Life is sacred.
Yes.
Amen. What predominant religion do you know where it is a religion of death? Islam. Islam is. But wait a minute. What about everybody sitting in church today on Sunday morning that believes abortion is okay? Just saying. Before we go throwing stones at the Muslims, we might want to look inward. But none of that will ever change if we don't get back to the Torah, because the Torah teaches us that man is made in God's image. Therefore, if you murder someone or you hurt someone, that blood's going to be required of you. 70 million babies being aborted, that's a lot of blood. And now we're having a debate about giving birth, setting the baby aside, and then going back and murdering it? Come on, somebody. The reason we're at this state is because we left the guidance of God's word. This shouldn't even be up for debate. My grandmother, this wouldn't have been a subject. No way. But now it's mainstream America. And I'm going to take some of the blame. I'm going to put some of the blame on the church folk.
Amen.
You know, let me say something. Just because society is evil doesn't mean we should shave our head and run to the mountain and wait on Jesus.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure how I feel about Christian schools. On one hand, I think they're good. On the other hand, I'm worried about, man, we took the light out of the dark place when we take Christian kids out. So I'm not sure how I feel. I'm not going to condemn you if you send your kids to a Christian school. I'm not going to condemn you. Or if you send yours to a public school, I'm not going to condemn you. You know, personally, the Bible tells us that we, as parents, we should have taught our kids. Amen? But for the sake of convenience, we shoveled them off to school. I did it. They did it to me. I don't know if we knew any better or not. But let me get back. The reason some of the stuff's going on in America and around the world is because we have left that Torah. We left our Jewish root. In 323 AD, when Constantine had the Council of Nicaea and he stripped the church of everything Jewish, we started down this path. You with me? Let me give you for instance. With Constantine and the Christian church started the hierarchy in the church. You got bishops, you got popes, you got the men of God. And they're the only ones that can read the word of God. So we made them the priests, and they ruled like kings. But my Bible says that God, in Exodus 19, God called the children of Israel to be a nation of priests. Wasn't a hierarchy. We were all to be priests before God.
Amen.
Amen. The father was to be the priest of his home. He was to teach his children. So was the mother. She was to help teach. Amen. And that Friday evening Shabbat where dad blessed mom, mom blessed dad, they both blessed their children and they worshiped God together. I'm telling you, that in itself would have changed America. For young men to see their dad bless their mother instead of getting drunk and cussing mom out. I'm preaching to the choir. There ain't none of you doing that stuff. I'm just telling you. My point is, we done that because we got away from our Jewish root. We got away from our Torah. We cannot be afraid to say Torah. You cannot be afraid to even say the word law. These are God's laws, God's commands, and he gave them to us, and he said, you get to choose because I made you in my image. You can choose life or you can choose death.
Amen.
Somebody say amen with me. I ain't even got to my message yet. I got to hurry. Man. All right. So, by reading this right here, that man is made in God's image, right? And that God's going to require, you murder somebody, God's going to require that blood on you, right? Then that tells me that black lives matter. Blue lives matter. White lives matter. Yellow lives matter. Because we're all made in the image of God. And God's not a respecter of persons. Bernie said it today. He loves us all. Amen. All right, let me get to my message. All right, let's get to the message. Now that I set that all up. You serious, Pastor? Yeah, I am. All right, here's what I want you to think about. Judaism. Judaism was the religion of the day that Jesus was born into. Okay? And its rock or its foundation is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Okay? You still with me? But Judaism, according to several rabbis, is supremely... They said supremely, this is the essence of Judaism, is, anybody want to take a guess? Teaching, that's good. It's the reason for the teaching I'm looking for. Love. The reason you teach your child is because you love your child. The reason God gave us the Torah was because he loved us. So Judaism is supremely at its heart a religion of love. Turn with me. We'll look at several places real quick. Real fast. Deuteronomy 6. I could probably quote this, but I won't. Won't think more highly of myself than I ought. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Oh, we'll go to verse 4, page 239. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So right off the bat, children of Israel come out of Egypt. They go to Sinai. God gives Moses his word, and he tells them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, he's one. He's Ahad. He's one God. And you're to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might." Then he says in Leviticus 19, verse 18, he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We're to love God, we're to love our neighbor, right? Now go to Deuteronomy 10. You're in 6, go to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 19, I think. Now let's go to verse 17. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Wow. "He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name." Verse 19, "Therefore love the strangers." Wow. So God tells us we're to love God, we're to love our neighbor, and we're to love the stranger. Someone you don't even know. I was in a pizza joint the other day down in Myrtle Beach, me and Trey. And we were in line, and this older gentleman, older than me, believe it or not, I don't like it. I don't like what I'm seeing, okay? I don't have to like it, but I guess I got to live with it. But anyway, this older gentleman, he's a little bit confused, and he's like, "Man, how's this place work?" I said, "Well, I think you order right here." "Oh, you guys are in line." I said, "That's okay. You stay right here." Then he thanked me. And he appreciated the help. Now, I didn't know him, but he needed help. How many know the Bible is built on sowing and reaping? What you sow, you will reap. So one of these days, I might be in the same predicament, maybe in a different pizza shop, and I might be confused. You know? And maybe some young man will help me out. You know what gets me? When I go to Golden Corral and I tell them, two seniors, and they say, oh, we already got that. Just by looking. Now, C.S. Lewis, remember C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis wrote the, what was those movies they made? He wrote the books, Narnia, the Lion and the Wardrobe, or something like that. C.S. Lewis was a good Christian, but C.S. Lewis points out this. He said that of all the great civilizations, they all had some form of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They all had some type of golden rule. Amen? You know, the ancient rabbis say that when God uttered the Ten Commandments, that the whole earth heard them. Okay? So, that tells me they might be right, because within this good inclination, there is something about man that's created to do good. Amen? All right? We know that's in there. All right, now, one other thing, and then I'll get to my message. Turn to Genesis 18. 18. We're to love God, love our neighbor, love the stranger, not when it's just convenient. Genesis 18, verse 19. Let's read verse 18. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now, there's something else about this Torah. It teaches us not only to love, but it teaches us about justice. Amen? If you have justice without love, it's going to be really harsh. If you have love and no justice, you're going to end up with a bunch of spoiled brats. See, I didn't know. It sure didn't seem like it, Aunt Helen, that every time my mom busted my hind end, that it was because she loved me. Okay? It didn't seem like it at the time. Okay? Now that I'm older and a little wiser, I get it. I understand it. Okay? And with my own kids, yeah, I delivered some justice with them. But I can honestly tell you straight up, with my grandchildren, I have not delivered enough justice where they're concerned. And they're here and they heard me. Okay, so moving right along. let's go to Genesis 29. They know I love them, though. Not hearing much out of them, being pretty quiet. Genesis 29, verse 15. Now, how many of you know, I'm going to clear this up before I get into my message. It'll take me about 10 minutes to finish, so hang in there. You missed me last week. I got to work harder today. In Deuteronomy 16, it talks about righteous judges. You know why we don't have righteous judges today? It's because there's no sanctity of life. There's no respect for life. If I rule in favor of the rich people, then I have no respect for the poor. Right? If somebody can buy my vote, then I don't have any sanctity of life. I don't I don't understand the concept that Bernie's made in the image of God just like Mike's made in the image of God. Amen? I've got to treat them both equally fairly, right, in order to be a righteous judge. All right, now we're going to get to that justice and love here in a minute. Genesis 29. Now, I already told you that any time we see love in the book of Genesis, there always seems to be a little conflict. Has anybody ever experienced that in life? When you've fallen in love, okay, there's a little conflict that usually comes with it. You know, have you noticed that your spouses haven't always done exactly what you wanted them to do? Yeah. So there's a little conflict. So I want to go to the story of Jacob. All right? And we'll pick it up in chapter 29 of Genesis, verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, Laban is his father-in-law, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Leah was an 8. Rachel was a 12. Okay? Bringing that into modern day. Everybody's looking at me like, what? Yeah, okay. You know what I'm talking about. Now it says, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. That's the deal sewed. You work 7 years for Rachel. So Jacob served, now watch this. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. 7 years is a long time. Now that I'm 60, 7 years is like that. Okay? It moves really quick. But because he was so in love with this woman, 7 years was no time at all to him. Now let's jump down. Let's see. Verse 24. Now they're having the wedding, right? And Laban's going to pull the old switcheroo on him. Okay? And he's going to give him Leah, the oldest daughter. And in essence, it looks like, okay, now stay with me. It's going to really look like here that Laban is the deceiver. But I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe Laban is serving justice to Jacob. Remember what Jacob did? Didn't Jacob do a little switcheroo and he stole Esau's blessing, right? Okay, now watch what it says. So, verse 25, so it came to pass in the morning, like he had to wait till morning to know it was Leah. I'm not buying that. So, it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? Now look at Laban's answer here. This is kind of cool. And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Uh-oh. Justice just got served. He's in love with Rachel, but justice just got served to Jacob. Can I say something to you? Don't ever think that the things you're doing that none of us can see, that God can't see. His eyes go to and fro throughout all the earth. Okay? He sees everything. Okay? Now let's keep reading here. Verse 27. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one, talking about Rachel, also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Well, 7 years was a fair price in the beginning, and you got one. He got Laban's daughter, Leah. But now 7 more years. I think Laban's being the more just person here, myself, but you know. 7 more years, and you can have Rachel. Yeah. I know he's not totally innocent, is he? So verse 28. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved. How many of your translations say hated? Any of your translations say hated? Okay. That doesn't mean hate like we hear in our society. I hate that person. You know? That's not what it means. It simply means she wasn't loved as much. Now watch. Verse 32. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction or my misery. Now therefore my husband will love me." I think what's going on here in this biblical text, when it says Leah was unloved, I think the Bible's telling us what Leah is feeling. Not Jacob. Because if you look in verse 30, it says, "And Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah." It doesn't say he didn't love Leah. It says he loved he loved Rachel more. So Leah is going to have, I think, 6 sons. And she's going to name them after what she's feeling. She names her oldest son Reuben because she feels her misery, her pain. How many of you know love brings conflict? And sometimes love is painful. What was that one rock song? Love is a battlefield. Something like that. I wouldn't quite go that far, okay? All right. I think her name was Pat Benatar or something like that. I don't know. 33. Let's go to verse 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son." And she called his name Simeon. "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved." So she names him Simeon. All her children reflect the pain that she feels. Okay? Jump down to verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise Yahweh." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Judah has had some sustained anguish. I mean, can I tell you something? You know, now Genesis, they get away with these two wives, okay? But God's going to put the kahitas to that nonsense, all right? I know I see it advertised every now and then, sister wives. How stupid is that? Okay? I mean, at my house, let me tell you how it works at my house. I go driving down the road, and there's a Hooters restaurant. I ain't, at my house, I don't even acknowledge that's there. I'm serious. I'm telling you the absolute truth. Okay? I don't acknowledge that restaurant. Never been in one. Never going in one. Okay? I just don't think that's the right place for a man of God to be. Amen? Oh, but the food's so good. Oh, horse rubbish. They got good food at other restaurants. Gee whiz. Sell that to somebody else. But anyway, Leah is in anguish. Now she finally is going to name her son Judah. You know, can you think of it? It means to praise. Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, hallelujah is not a word that means praise God. It's a command that means praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Okay, let me keep going. Let me get off of that. Now, here's the problem. Leah is not the only person on earth who has been afflicted or anguished over a relationship. Right? We have youth youth camp within in a week, 8 days. And there will be young men there, young women there who have not known their father. So they're having that anguish of that relationship, that love that they haven't experienced. You know, our society is littered with young people who have been raised without a father's love or raised without a mother's love. It was never God's intention for that. That love between husband and wife was supposed to be reflected in their children. Amen? So we have a lot of people, a lot of young people that have been, that have felt the pain or the conflict of love. Somebody say amen or oh me. It's not right, it's not fair. But I will tell you this, it's not the end of the world. It's definitely not the end of the world. This is where you and I come in. We're to be light bearers. Because we can't bear light if we're still sad and depressed and wore out from our own past relationships or our own anguish. Right? Am I right? If we're still living in the past, we can't go forward with God. But there's a whole world that needs us as light bearers, reflecting the love of God in which we have experienced. Now, Leah was in anguish, right? A lot of people have been hurt in relationships or the lack of relationships. You know, we have a whole society hooked on drugs. And I want to tell you that drug addiction breaks, it affects everybody in the family, not just the wife and kids, but it affects moms, dads. You know, it breaks families up. So we feel that we love that person, but we're feeling the pain that person's causing. Amen? But don't you think God understood that? But God had to serve justice. Right? Man sinned. Justice must be served. The Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. Something has to die. So in order for God to serve justice, it's God's love for humanity. It's His love that satisfies His justice. Instead of making Bernie pay for my sins and Jackie's sins, God incarnates Himself in His Son Jesus. Amen? And goes to a cross at Calvary. And I'm going to tell you something. There was some anguish there. There was some conflict. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." Amen? But then He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Whew. God's love satisfied His justice. And what did one of the things that Jesus said? He said, "I come to set captives free and to what? Heal the brokenhearted. Heal those people. Heal everyone that has suffered the conflict of a relationship. Whether it was father, son, mother, daughter, husband, wife, whatever that relationship was. Jesus came to how many of you know that hurt, that anguish binds people? I mean, listen, God's love satisfied His justice because love does what? Forgives. Love always forgives. So in order for you, in order for anyone, for Jesus to be able to set the captive free and to heal a broken heart, that person's got to come to the place where they're willing to forgive. I didn't say you had to go out and have tea and crumpets. Okay? I watched the president and the queen, so that's where I got that tea and crumpets. But you have to forgive within yourself those hurts of that love. And I'll tell you, it hurts. You know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, when I get in a relationship, I usually put everything I have into it. And not everybody's like that. But when you're like that, when you're the one putting everything into a relationship, you're probably the first one to get hurt. Okay? But if you'll learn to forgive, you won't be so angry. You won't be so bitter. And you'll open yourself up for God to use that light that is within you more. And this world needs to see that light. Because I'm telling you, today you'll probably go by 20 people. If you're out in public, at least 20 people who are feeling the conflict of love or bad relationship that needs to see your light. Amen. Glory to God. I look at you know, the anger that's on some of these people that are caught in that web of homosexuality. And you know, the so-called experts tell us that over 90% of people in that web of homosexuality, their first sexual encounter was with someone of the same sex. So the devil has perverted that evil inclination. And so now they're bound by that. And they're very angry about it. And that's why the church has got to be the light. Amen? We don't condemn the homosexual. But you know what? We've got to love them. And part of that love means justice has got to be served. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, we got to tell them the truth. That Jesus came to set you free. That he came to heal your broken heart. But you know what? I can't set them free if I'm not free first myself. Amen? Bow your heads with me for a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I love you and I praise you this morning. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this church and this church family. Father, I thank you for all that are here. And Father, for those who aren't here who call this church home, I pray you stir in their hearts that need to be back in Father's house. Lord, if there's anyone in here this morning, Lord God, that is bound by relationships of the past, I pray, Lord, right now that you would allow your Holy Spirit to descend upon their hearts and allow them to forgive that person and to walk in the freedom that you have created us to walk in. Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. We give you glory and honor. And as David said, I delight in your Torah, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jackie, will you and Carolyn help me? Holy, holy, holy. Tell your grandma that you let your... Hallelujah. God is good. This man, Pastor, you're long-winded. I know it. I've read so much, studied so much, I had to get it off my chest. Yeah. Thank you, cuz. Two came in, Jackie. Got two more back there. Yeah, they told her. Here, I'll take care of them. Do you have Eli's, Kathy? Hallelujah. You know, they looked on Jesus. Bible says his visage, his countenance was so marred, they couldn't tell who he was. And they thought, wow, man, you must have done something really, really bad for God to do this to you. Think about it. We just talked about love and justice. For God to do that to you. And then all of a sudden the Bible says, no. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. His love for us, justice served that love. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed and made whole. This morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible says that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. This cup also represents that fourth cup in the Jewish wedding, where the young bride would drink of that fourth cup as a vow of her fidelity and faithfulness until her wedding day. By drinking of this cup, it becomes a vow to our bridegroom, to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, that we will be faithful until you come. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we drink of this cup. Hallelujah. You know, there's some religions that believe that to be righteous, you have to eat this bread and drink this cup, and then righteousness now is imputed into you. That's why they practice last rites. We got to get some righteousness into that boy before he dies. You know, righteousness comes only when we repent and accept Jesus' work at Calvary, and then our spirit gets immersed in the blood of Jesus. I don't know how, but all I know is when I said yes to Jesus and asked for forgiveness of my sins, I felt squeaky clean. And you know, the cool thing about it is his blood's eternal. Amen. How many years ago was it you were saved, Jackie? 35 years ago. Wow, I came back to God in 1990. And that same blood was applied. It was still working with me. There'll be young men and women that will give their heart to Jesus this next week at youth camp, starting a week from this Monday. And that same blood is still working. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, when I was in the Dominican, I was preaching on the eternal blood of Jesus, and I mentioned that hymn. They started singing it. The melody sounded right, but I couldn't recognize the words. And then I mentioned another one. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunged beneath that flow lose all their guilt and stain. They started singing that one. You know, so it was pretty cool. And for those, you know, I've been asked hundreds of times, what about these people that died? I said, they were in a resort. Trust me when I tell you, I wasn't on vacation in the Dominican. I was working. And I was nowhere remotely close to a 5-star resort, okay? I ate a lot of beans and rice, lots of beans and rice, okay? Yeah, and I got the air turned on 2 days. So, you know, I wasn't even close to a 5-star resort. So I don't think I was in any danger, although I did read, or I heard on the news where there's been 100 Americans killed in the Dominican in traffic accidents. So I appreciate all your prayers for protection. I, after having rode in a vehicle, I would never drive there. Not going to happen. But having rode in a vehicle in the Dominican, I understand it. I get it. All you got to do is watch. It is crazy. Stop signs are just a suggestion. That's all they are. There's no law to back them up. So anyway, I want to thank you for your prayers. and please be praying for youth camp starting a week from Monday. We'll have about 180 kids, looks like. So, yeah, if you're not doing anything, let me know. We'll put you to work over there. I don't know. Is it? Shavuot, today, yeah, perfect. Today is Pentecost. I didn't realize it was Pentecost. I thought it was 2 weeks ago. I missed it. Well, that's good, because we can do it next week and get some bread in here on Father's Day. That'll be a good way to celebrate Father's Day, our Heavenly Father giving us the Torah. Amen. So, well, it's got to be today. Well, no, you need to read in your Bible. Passover, if you miss Passover, you can celebrate Passover later, okay? I think that's in Numbers. There was some of them missed Passover, so they got to keep it later. So this gives me time to get some of that good challah bread made at the Jewish bakery in Marietta. So we'll have that next week, and we'll celebrate Shavuot on Father's Day. That's a good idea. I got my Father's Day message already. Praise the Lord. I don't even like Father's Day because I wasn't a very good one. But anyway, we will do that next week. You all be blessed. Let your light shine this week. Tell somebody about Jesus. Has that girl had that baby yet?